Learn the art of investing on MoneyWise.
Welcome to the MoneyWise podcast. This is Sheetal, and today we're about to delve headlong into a phrase that all of us are pretty aware of. I'll just give you the short, the acronym for it, SIPs. And sipping is what I have learned is a new term in my life, at least. But I'm quite certain a lot of you have heard it before. But I'm sure all those people also still do have some questions with respect to SIPs, especially the newer investors. So we've decided to ask a few basic primer kind of questions to our expert, featured expert today. And that person is Gaurav Parija. He's head of sales and marketing at IDFC Asset Management Company Limited. He has experience spanning 22 years in retail sales and distribution, has been part of the organization since March of 2017. So it's our delight to have his expertise on hand. Thank you so much, Gaurav, for joining us on MoneyWise. Welcome to the show, and how's the day treating you?
Thanks, Sheetal, for having me and giving IDFC the opportunity to come on your platform. Yeah, the day is fine. I think the last 15, 16 months have been challenging, but the good part is our industry seems to be doing well. So overall, looking positive.
Right. Good to start on a positive note, right? And here's where, you know, I'd love for our listeners to get a basic understanding of what an SIP really is. So if you were to simplify it for our listeners, what is an SIP and what are its benefits, Gaurav?
So SIP, or which is an acronym actually for Systematic Investment Plan, is actually a facility or a feature which a lot of, in fact, all asset management companies offer. A lot of other financial institutions also offer. Mm-hmm. This feature basically allows investors to invest small amounts of monies, and it ranges from rupees 100 to all the way up to there is no upside limit, mm-hmm. In a specified scheme of their choice. Mm-hmm. In an interval of their choice, depending on what they are saving for. Okay. Now, if I had to draw an analogy of what an SIP is, and many youngsters may not even know of this concept, mm-hmm. but when I was born, my grandparent actually went over to the nearest post office and opened a recurring deposit, mm-hmm. where a lot of the previous generations have been used to a concept of recurring deposits in the post offices or banks. Right. SIP is akin to a recurring deposit, albeit done in a mutual fund. So the benefits of SIP are plenty. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I think what SIP does is it inculcates the habit of savings, right, in an investor, more than the returns and the pool of wealth which is created at the end. It just gets you into a discipline of saving. Right. The beauty of an SIP, like I stated, can start from a very, very low amount of rupees 100 and can go all the way up to there's no upper limit.
Correct.
The fact that SIP is mostly done in a equity or equity oriented fund, mm-hmm. and given that equity markets tend to go up and down, mm-hmm. if the SIP amount is for a fixed amount at a certain time, depending on the underlying price of the fund, mm-hmm. you tend to get so many units. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact is that your value of your investment is divided by the price. So if the markets are high, the price of the fund seems to be high, so you get lower units. Mm. And vice versa. So it automatically is a discipline where you tend to buy more of something when the price is low, mm-hmm. and you tend to buy less of something when the price is high. And that, if you were to compare it with everything else we do in life, is what we want to do. So whenever there's a flash sale, we tend to buy more.
Right.
But in normal circumstances where there's no sale, we don't tend to buy. And that's what SIP does.
Right.
And lastly, I think the feature and concept which asset managers give makes it very convenient for you to invest. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a one-time sign-up. You can change the frequency, you can change the amount, you can stop it, you can restart it. And given that everything is done online, mm-hmm. it's a very, very convenient way to start creating a investment portfolio.
Right.
So these are some of the initial thoughts around what SIP is. Like I said, it's a very simple process and feature, mm-hmm. to invest over long periods of time.
Understood. So now that a little birdie also tells me that you personally are a passionate believer in the benefits of SIPs, and you've actually outlined a whole bunch of those for us. Now, if you were to summarize for the individual investor why they should pay attention to SIPs, how would you boil it down to the top, like neon lights wala points?
So the neon light actually struck me when I started my career in an asset management company way back in 1995. Mm-hmm. Now, very quickly, I realized that if I wanted to grow up in life, I needed to really focus and concentrate on the job on hand. as against getting time to looking at markets and trying to invest. At the same time, I realized the need and importance to save. So then I came across this fantastic concept of SIP, which allowed me to, apart from my mandatory savings, which is my provident fund and insurance, allow me to invest a certain amount of money in the markets. Right. And that's where I started this whole concept and the belief that SIP is great. So what I realized is that for every profession, whatever profession, you could be a doctor, you could be a radio jockey, you could be doing a podcast, you could be an architect. Your ability to create wealth over the long term is more dependent on the ability to build on your profession as against trying to be smart in something else.
Mm-hmm.
And what investors don't realize that we are actually so occupied in our work areas. Even if you're interested in wanting to time the markets and get invested in the markets, you may not get the time actually to do it.
Correct.
And in the process, what many a time either you miss out in that or you get too bogged down in that and hence you clearly you are defocusing on your work.
Right.
So what I've realized is that either investors find this investing very irritating or cumbersome and totally get away from it. And many a times we find investors sitting with tons of money in their bank account, which is actually not earning any money to beat inflation.
Right.
Or the flip side is investors are so fascinated with markets that they try to bet their entire house on the markets.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other extreme. So what SIP does is tries to balance it out, says, look, it's a very simple thing. And what I found over my last 25 years of investing through SIPs is that by doing a very simple to an extended dumb way of investing, I've actually resulted in fantastic outcomes over the last 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the very simple maths, and this is what will surprise a lot of people.
Huh.
If you're to invest 1,000 rupees every month, for 30 years and that investment grows, let's say, at a compounded rate of 15%. Just mathematically, this is not that you invest in this market or this fund.
Right.
Many don't realize that this simple 1,000 rupees invested over 30 years of 3,60,000 leads to 75 lakhs at the end of 30 years. And that's the power of compounding.
Wow.
And hence, that's why investors should pay attention to SIPs, because it brings out one of the inherent strengths of investing, which is power of compounding.
Yeah, I think that power of compounding statement has the attention of all of our listeners right now. Suddenly all years are going up. I can see Gaurav as you did that little bit of math for us. So we'll let our listeners soak in that information. We'll be back with more questions. This is MoneyWise, the podcast that continues with Gaurav Parija. In just a bit, there's going to be some SIP related trivia coming your way.
Did you know?
The average size of an SIP contribution in India for financial year 2021-22 is 2,278 rupees. The mutual fund industry added 25.43 lakh SIP accounts each month during this financial year, compared to 11.78 lakh SIP accounts each month during the financial year 2020-21.
Personal Finance Simplified, only on MoneyWise.
You're tuned into the MoneyWise podcast that's all about SIPs today, and we have Gaurav Parija with us. Now, Gaurav, here's the other thing. A lot of experts claim that SIPs make it easy for investors to grow their money. This, again, is something that a lot of us would love to do. We'd like to watch the money simply just grow. So can you explain how this really happens, connect the dots for us?
So firstly, it's a yes and no. And a lot of people will be surprised when they hear the no. I think reason I'm saying no, I'll elaborate later. Now, first, let's understand the secret of creating wealth. And this has been proven over multiple studies and experiences of investors over the last 50-100 years, both in India and globally.
Right.
Universally, the answer to what is the real secret of creating wealth comes if an investor can get three elements right. The first and foremost, and at the cost of sounding cliche, repetitive, boring, broken record, it is asset allocation. The second is the ability of an individual to manage emotional and financial stress. And third is the aspect I just referred to in my previous answer, is the power of compounding.
Okay.
If someone can get the three together right, it is actually a no-brainer way of creating wealth over the long run. And when I'm talking wealth, I'm talking about wealth of an average individual who is working and building wealth over a period of time, as again someone who's struck it rich by legacy or someone from a startup who suddenly got listed and got the pot of wealth. I'm not talking of that. I'm talking of an average investor like you and me.
Right.
Now, where SIP comes in handy is that it manages to do all the three above in a very, very simple way, because it allows you to invest small amounts. It allows you to enforces you actually on the discipline to keep investing regularly. Hmm. And over a period of time, power of compounding starts kicking in.
Right.
The other thing SIP does is, given that you are in a way shut off from what is happening on your SIPs on a daily and monthly basis, you really don't get carried away when markets either do extremely well or extremely poorly, because your emotions are not coming in play, because every time an SIP trigger happens, you're not looking at the markets. And that actually is a big beneficiary or big savings in the long run. And lastly, like I gave you the example of the previous, in the previous answer, very small amounts of money, if invested regularly and left to run its natural course over periods of time, create significant outcomes at the end of the tenure.
Absolutely.
And that's why I believe that SIP makes it easy for investors. But is SIP the only answer to make wealth? No. If any of the three points goes, SIP cannot be your one-stop cure for solving your problems.
So that was a no part of what you had said that you will tell us about, right? So it's not the only, superb. Now that you bring in the not the only aspect of things, if you were to talk about some of the other investment vehicles or instruments available, how, Gaurav, would SIPs perform in comparison, and how long should one take an SIP for or make an SIP for?
So Sital, I'll take the second question first, and I think it's a question I love answering. And the reason I love answering is whenever someone asks me, should I do an SIP for 3 years, 5 years? I actually jokingly ask the person that, do you envisage yourself dying after 3 to 5 years?
Okay.
If not, why? Where is this 3, 5, 7, 10 coming from?
Huh.
Now, the answer to the question as to how long should an SIP be for is a very simple answer, actually. The way I look at it is, you should do your SIP till such time you are working. Now, for most salaried people, it could be 58 or 60. For entrepreneurs or people who are not salaried or self-salaried or professionals, it at any job or profession, at some stage, you would want to retire. So a doctor, while a private doctor may not have any age timeline, but I presume he or she would say, okay, by 70, I want to hang up this profession and chill out. So my answer is, till the time you are working and getting a cash flow, continue with your SIP. The day you decide to retire and hang up your boots, you should move from SIP to SWP, wherein you ask the asset manager to give you money on a certain frequency so as to compensate for your salary. So it's a very simple answer. And the other way to put it for salaried is, till such time your provident fund gets deducted, do your SIP. The day your provident fund doesn't get deducted means you're out of a job or you've retired, stop your SIP. That's the answer for how long.
Right.
In terms of how does it compare to other investment vehicles, I think fundamentally let us understand that SIP is a tool or a feature to build a buy into a particular investment vehicle. It is not the end thing. So depending on where you've invested your SIP and how that asset class does, will lead to the outcome of your investment. So it just doesn't mean that SIP A done in an equity fund and SIP B done in a fixed income fund will lead to the same goal. No. Because the underlying asset class in one is equity, the underlying asset class in the second is fixed income, and both of them will not converge to the end point, as we know, because varying asset classes have various returns over periods of time.
Now, Gaurav, here's the other very important question. If you're talking about SIPs as a primer podcast, right? Obviously, there could be a drill down that we can address later. Taxes. Obviously, when these enter the picture, the question is, what are the tax implications for me as an investor if it comes to SIPs? So if you could explain that to us.
So at the outset, while I'll take a shot at this question, I would want to put a caveat that we are not the final authorities on tax. I would seriously urge every listener to consult his or her tax consultant to get the right answer for this question. Now, having said that, the taxation on the SIP, like I said, you do a SIP into an underlying fund or an asset class. And depending on the taxation of that asset class, your SIPs will be taxed per installment. For example, if you were to do an SIP into an equity fund, as per current rules, there is a long-term capital gains tax of 10% if you have stayed in an equity fund for more than a year, and 15% if you are investing for less than a year. For fixed income, it is 3 years and so. So depending on the underlying asset class, the taxation comes. Again, like on returns, there is no standard applicability of tax on SIP. So if you do tax in equity and do a SIP in equity and do an SIP in fixed income, the taxes will not be the same just because you're doing SIP.
Understood. Now we'll take a break. We do have some questions from people. I think those questions will help realize certain scenarios and how they play out in the context of SIPs. But before that, you know, right up front, Gaurav, you mentioned, your grandfather, you mentioned RDs and post office savings. And it suddenly I was like in a flashback moment myself. But got to ask you, is there a savings mantra that you sort of go by? I know there was one time when I asked somebody, is there a thumb rule for this or something? They said, they turned around and told me everybody's thumb is different, so no thumb rule is possible. But tell me, what's your guiding principle?
So my guiding principle is, I think I alluded to it during the conversation we had, is very quickly I realized that if I wanted to create wealth, I should not get too excited about the way of creating wealth, because George Soros actually said something very fascinating, that if you find investments very exciting, you are in the wrong place. Which effectively means that if you want to create wealth, you have to be prepared for the fact that it is going to be a boring and not an exciting journey. That's the secret to creating wealth. So what I've adopted very early in my working career is accept the fact that SIP is a powerful way to invest and just go with it, with the flow for the last 15, 20 years. There have been multiple periods where my fund underlying funds may not have done well, but if you are convinced with the fact that it is properly managed and the intent and all of that is right, over periods the fund recovers, and that's all I found. Now the other thing to remember is, many a time we get carried away by saying, oh, SIP in fund A has given me X percent, SIP in fund B has given Y percent. Now people take so much time in figuring out X and Y that they don't realize that they first have to start an SIP, because in the absence of starting an SIP, your returns is equal to savings bank return. So don't get carried away by, should I start my SIP, pause it, step it up, top it up and complicate life. Just start first. So it's like someone wants to run a marathon. You don't start with 10 kilometers day one, or you don't start interval training from day one.
Correct.
So it's a simple journey. As you start getting evolved, as you start getting more experience, as you start getting comfortable, then start doing the twists and turns of your investments.
Right. Keep it simple. I like the sound of that. I love the analogies of a marathon and the small little steps that it takes to get to that point. We'll take a small little break on MoneyWise and come back and chat a little bit more. In fact, we have questions, like I said, for Gaurav Parija, Head of Sales and Marketing at IDFC Asset Management Company Limited. Stay tuned. Those are coming up in just a bit.
Ask the expert.
Hi, Gaurav. I'm Navika, a 30-year-old freelancer working in media. Are SIPs advisable for someone like me with a fluctuating income?
Firstly, Navika, congrats. It's great to hear that someone is thinking and considering to invest in SIP. You're clearly on the right path. Now, like I've been stating right through the conversation, that the key to investing through a SIP is to identify, firstly, what am I investing for? And making returns is not the goal. You are investing for, let's say, buying a house 20 years, 10 years down the line, retirement, all that. So get that right first. Second, and most importantly, you should allocate an amount of money to SIP, which you know is your worst case cash flow. So basis your worst case expectation of cash flow or salary, you commit a certain amount of money in SIP. Don't try to commit a money or a certain amount which may be very unsustainable going forward, especially for someone who has a fluctuating income.
Right.
And that's the trick to it. Now, the beauty, again, like we've been referring right through the conversation, is that SIP actually gives you, the feature of SIP actually gives you the benefit to start very low. It allows you to change the amount whenever you want. It allows you to drop the amount anytime you want. So the trick is to start with a certain amount of money. As you start getting comfortable on your cash flows, you start increasing it over a period of time. Don't get too aggressive to begin with, because you've heard of this so-called panacea for all cures, which is SIP and will make you a super millionaire in the short term. Don't go by it. Start slow and build it up.
You're listening to MoneyWise, successful investment ideas that create wealth.
Hello, my name is Suresh and I'm a new investor, still learning about SIPs. I began investing just about 5 years ago and I was told that SIPs protect us from a falling market. And yet, I have incurred losses. How is that possible?
Suresh, firstly, a great question. I think a lot of investors have that apprehension. Many of them don't ask it and tend to stop their SIPs, but it's great that you put it out for us to answer. Now, Suresh, like I've been saying, SIP is not a product in itself. It's a feature by which you invest into an underlying asset classes. And for this, for the sake of simplicity, let's say you've invested in an asset class which is investing into equity. Which is equity. Now, we all know that equity markets tend to go up and down in cycles. And this is history over the last 50 to 100 years in India as well as international markets. But over the long term, depending on how each country's economy is doing, equity markets tend to generally rise. Now, there could be periods and significantly long periods where equity markets may not do as well. And hence, your SIPs tend to underperform or be negative in that period. But history again proves that if you hold it for longer periods of time, things improve. And the beauty of SIP is that if as you keep buying in a market which is low, the number of units you accumulate are far higher. Because like I explained earlier, in a lower market, you tend to get more bucks for the money. And in a higher market, you get lower units for the same amount.
Right.
So as and when the market does turn, it suddenly turns the returns from being flat to negative to a fairly decent outcome. And that's why you shouldn't get too caught up that, oh, I've been investing for last 3-4 years and yet I'm seeing losses. Should I continue or not?
Save, invest, grow. MoneyWise teaches you the wisdom and secrets that lead to financial success.
Hi, Gaurav. I'm Anirban from Delhi. I'm 26 years old and I want to invest 50,000 per year in a good SIP. Because I keep hearing that it is a safe long-term investment with decent returns. Some people online claim as much as 30% returns on their investment. Is that true? And how long should I invest in an SIP to get similar returns?
So firstly, again, Anirban, like the other people who've been asking questions, I'm really delighted to know that people are so curious and so interested in doing an SIP. And I would again congratulate you on the amount you want to commit. Like I've been saying right through the conversation, I hope that the amount you're committing, which is 50,000, is something you can sustain over longer periods of time, depending on your job and profession. Mm-hmm. Now, like we've been discussing, there is no guarantee I can give that this will give you 30% or 20% or 15%. Clearly, no one can give you that over any period of time. I think the trick is you have, when you are investing in SIP in an underlying asset class, you have to look at what have been the average returns of that asset class over the period in which you want to invest. So, for example, let's say you want to put money in SIP for 15 years. I would urge you to look at how has equity markets performed on an average for 15 years over the last, since markets as Sensex came in inception in 1979. And that will give you a clue.
Right.
Now, sometimes your SIP in an active equity fund could outperform the benchmark. Sometimes it could underperform the benchmark. And that's where the range will be. But let's say the inherently the market gives X. Can I get 2X? There are chances, but that would be far and few. But can I get X? For sure, you can get X. What is that X? If I knew, I would not be on the podcast. I would be busy making that money.
Yeah, it's sipping pina coladas on some island somewhere, I'm sure. Well,
absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, you know, for answering that question, the set of questions actually from Navika, Suresh and Anirban. And I'm sure they are happy with what you have just said and are going to go clearer into their investment plans for their future. Gaurav, one last question. And this one's got to do with perhaps an app or something that you can leave us with, an app or a resource like a website or a magazine or a book that you think everybody should read before they turn 30.
Actually, none. And a lot of people will be surprised. I actually don't. So obviously, from a book perspective, there are multiple books on of the legends like Warren Buffett, Morgan Housel and all of that. You keep reading. Finally, if books could make you wealthy, we would be all buying books.
You're right.
So the trick for me is to, like you rightly said, keep it simple. I actually don't switch on the TV between 9:30 to 6, because for me that's noise. Markets moving up and down daily will not affect or change my returns over 10, 15, 20 years. Like I've said, and people might believe that I'm saying it for the heck of saying it, I really don't look at my SIP values on a monthly, quarterly basis, because why am I? It's like, do you check your provident fund accounts or balances every month? You don't.
Right.
Because you know that's your retirement kitty, which you will look at 25, 30 years down the line. So why are you so keen on looking at those accounts? Secondly, I think, like I said, if you're able to handle your emotional stress during times of markets not being favorable, is when you'll make most money. So, yeah, I obviously read books, I read magazines, I check up apps and all. But is there any specific book or magazine I refer to? Not really. Things which I want, which I think is the answer to all your problems, I don't think. And it's not that there are not books, not enough books. There are plenty. But have I found one app or book which is really the secret of, gives you the secret answers of creating wealth? I don't think so.
Yeah. And in not giving me an answer, you've actually given me a brilliant answer over there. Somehow it's very, very reassuring to know there isn't that one place that rest of us have missed out for all our lives, a good part of our lives, where the other part is actually reaping benefits of it. But Gaurav, it's been very, very insightful, this primer series on SIPs with the basic questions answered for a lot of people. And thank you so much for making us a time on MoneyWise today.
Thanks, Sheetal. And again, thanks once again for having us on the show.
You're listening to MoneyWise, brought to you by IDFC MF. Check out the rest of our series for more investment advice. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.